Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
I'm going to build on what she is talking about. I want to say today, I really believe with all my heart, if you're new here and you just came in, you're in the right place, number one. You're in the right place, trust me. For 40 years, I've been in the wrong places at any given time. But to be here and to be in a place that has the desire to equip and train and give the armor of God to a generation, it's provoking. And this has been a provoking week. And so I want to get right into it because I really believe that today's a family meeting. I want to influence the way I believe you need to think about the next generation. I want to influence how I believe you're to think about equipping children versus childcare versus all the things. Now, you have an amazing foundation. I spent 1 hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe it wasn't an hour. There's a lot of yelling going on around us. But I spent an hour with a serious warrior for children, her and her husband, Amy, and her husband, Brett, right? And so I was honored, and I called Kansas City after I was done. It doesn't mean anything. It's not that high and lofty of a thing, but I called Kansas City. I had to check in. There was numerous people wanting to check in with me. We're in the middle of camps up there. I'm dodging my wife like crazy, man. I'm going, please, just don't let anything blow up, you know, or anything. And not that I can fix it, but I am her spouse, and I'm her partner. And I want to lift her arms and because she does a lot. But I called back to check in, and I got Sadie's mom on the phone, and then I had another conversation, and then I got a hold of my wife. She told me to call her. Okay, third. I'll give her a call the third. And I talked to her, and I said, I met a very precious person. Her and her husband do this, and I want to help them. I want her to feel like she has a comrade. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to organize some different things because I really believe what's going to happen here is what I said to your leaders in the first night when I was in Kansas City on a Zoom call. I said, children are not called the programs, they're called the people. The assignment that's on the next generation right now is that they aren't going to just go to a program. Amy says brilliantly, most of the body of Christ when it comes to children and raising children, equipping children in the church, Sunday school, children's church, children's ministry, however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, she said, we're basically entertaining our children into commitment. And I've heard it said a lot of different ways, you know, entertainment, and there's nothing really wrong with entertainment. I was in Poland, and I was speaking about we're not to entertain our children in church just to do that. We're to equip them, and I got rebuked by a priest after that that said, son, there's nothing wrong with entertainment if it's godly. Okay, you got me. You got me. But most of the church is just trying to figure out their children's ministries so that the people would stay in the church. Wow. And so that's what's going out there today. So as this spiritual family goes forward, I want to give you some things on how I believe you need to think. And what that really translates to is that I want to influence your paradigm related to the next generation, related to Sunday school, related to children's ministry, related to children's church, whatever we do here, the prayer room, whatever. I want to influence your paradigm. And the paradigm is really broken down into patterns. So I just want to adjust your paradigm. I know you have the heart because I saw the outpouring on the children. I know you have the desire because I saw the leadership team come together and unify when everything around them wasn't looking like unity, right? So I really know I'm in the right place, but I want to adjust the way you think because I really feel here today, and I have all week for the last 2 days pretty thick, that in this very room, this little fire that's going on here, this expression of church and community in the spiritual family and the prayer room, the expression of the flame that's going forth in night and day prayer for the generation of the Lord's return, I really believe that there's an assignment going out among this area, among this region, and children are going to be assigned here. And I had to get that across to the leadership team in Kansas City. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy when I first picked up the mantle and said, okay, I'll do children's ministry. I don't even know what it means. My wife came to me. She said, I really feel like you're to take over my fourth grade class. I'm going to go to the nursery. We called it a nursery. I later, after I got in charge, I called it beginner's church. I couldn't see calling a nursery. That's where plants grow. And they're plants, and they have fruit, but it's beginner's church. And so she came to me, and I told the story a time or two, and to make it quick, I just said, that's the most stupid thing you could have ever brought to me in your entire life, in our entire marriage. From the get-go, this is the dumbest idea, and I got it out, you ever had. It's demonic. I told her. It's a demonic thought. You know my childhood? You know what we got? I was an only child. We have four children. And when they fight, I feel like we're all going to hell. But she's a baby of seven, and she says, we'll work it out. I go, and you want me to take over your fourth grade class? She says, yeah, you have a strong heart. I think you're supposed to help me. She said, just do it for a couple of weeks. So I told her she was demonized. I actually went to a man named Danny Daniels in the Vineyard. He wrote a lot of Vineyard songs, but he was in charge of deliverance. And I went to him and I said, Danny, my wife's getting some real demonic thoughts, man. And he goes, what are they? I go, man, she thinks I should take over her fourth grade. What the heck is she thinking? She goes, she's a pretty smart woman. Maybe she sees something in you. I go, well, maybe she don't, and I'm sending her to you. If a demon, I said it just like, I'm not kidding you. If a demon comes out and I'm still go take over her fourth grade class, let me know, I'm in. I won't disobey the Lord. Well, I took over that fourth grade class. I didn't have any experience. They gave me this packet of curriculum to study. My wife said, all you got to do is open this book and just read it just like that. She didn't know I have like a fourth grade education. I barely got out of high school. I went to school for music. And she hands me this packet, and I'm looking at it. I go, I ain't doing the crafts. I'm not finding the scissors. I don't want the straws. I ain't going to find any glue, and I'm not doing any of this stuff. The only thing I know how to do is tell children how to lead their friends to Jesus. I'm staying with that. She says, we got to read the scripture. I go, I'll read whatever scripture I want. But I had the book. And then 2 weeks go by, and she conned me into staying. Because she said, you see those two individuals standing at the wall over there? I go, yeah, those are the interesting two of the church. Let's leave it there. She goes, they're the ones that are going to take over my class. What? What? Satan's going to take over your class? These people can't do that. She goes, I know. You got to stay there for a little while longer. Okay, now we went from demonization, I'm serious, to possession. Demon possession. He goes, you can be afflicted. You can leave a gate open for the enemy a little bit. You know how it works, right? But we're on full-on possession now. She goes, just do it for a little while longer. I said, how long? She goes, another week or two. But by the way, next week they're going to come in and evaluate your class. I go, who? The guy in charge of Christian education. What's that? What's Christian education? I play a musical instrument. I'm on the worship team. It's the stepping stone to a bigger ministry, I thought, and you're going to reduce me down to a fourth grade class? I thought children's ministry, honestly, was where they sent you when they don't want you to lead anymore in the body of Christ. When they don't want you to lead anymore, they send you over to the children's ministry. That's what I thought. That was my paradigm. Wow. Wow. And I take over her class. I'm going to the Sunday school that morning, and I'm going, oh, I'm going to have to read the verse. I'm actually reading while I'm driving. Okay, I'll just fake my way through it. Because all I did is want to give a generation the passion to not see their friends go to hell. I wanted a generation to go to the lunchroom and to their schools and be able to talk about Jesus. So that's what I did. I taught them how to lead their friends to Jesus. Except that one day I was being reviewed. I had to hijack the whole plan for some guy I've never met that's a big leader in the church. I've seen him from a distance. He's going to come in and evaluate my class. I'm driving into the parking lot of the Vineyard Denver, and I just got so frustrated, I said, I'm not doing this. I'm going to get fired anyway once if he comes in. It's my out. He's going to go, how'd he get in there? I'm done. Why would I want to look good in front of this guy? I want out. So I chucked the curriculum out the window. I'm walking into the building to go to my class, and Mr. Mitchell, the guy who is going to come review my class, taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, hey, Lenny, you lose something? And it's the book. I threw it out the window. It landed on his hood. He was the car behind me. I threw the curriculum out the window. And it landed on his hood. He was behind me. The curriculum was called Sunday School Plus. What? Sunday School Plus? We live with the Trinity. What are you talking about Sunday school for? You know, and so that was my paradigm. So I said, yeah, I don't know. Oh, sure does have my name on it. Has my wife's name on it. He goes, yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I've been hearing things about your class, and I'm going to come in, and I think you just stay with what you're doing. But the curriculum is just a springboard. And so I said, darn. I'm not going to get fired today. And I stayed in there ever since. A little boy named Mateo, he comes up to me on the fourth week. And he says, teacher, can I asked for you to pray for me. I have a pain in my heart. I go, what do you mean you have a pain in your heart? Real pain, physical pain. I'm trying to find the nurse, trying to get a hold of my wife. We got a boy in here who's got a pain in his heart. And so I was trying to get the nurse, and I sent somebody to get the nurse, and he goes, oh, no, 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 please, 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 Mr. Lenny, please, teacher. It's not, my heart's not hurt. But I get a pain that comes into my heart every time I hear my mom and dad talk about divorce. I go, what? He goes, every time my mom and dad talk about divorce, I get a pain in my heart. And they talked about divorce on the way to church today. And I have to make a decision, he said, to go either live in Texas or stay with my mom. And I don't know what to do. I went to bat for that little boy. I taught him how to lead his friends to Jesus. He was taking some pretty good notes in his heart. And then 2 weeks later, I'm still in this thing. I get my assignment fortified. Just like many of you. Let me share something with you. You're not called to children's ministry, Amy. It's a front. Children's ministry is the place where nobody can get to the family quicker. Yeah, that's right. If you're working with the children in church or in a program or in a camp, nobody can get to that family quicker than you if there's a need. Nobody can get to their knees faster than those that are working with the children. Now, I know that now. I thought it was a death sentence, and my wife was demonized. I had to do some serious repenting over the years. I still open the door. What am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even want to know what I'm doing. I don't even want to do it. I'm called to the kingdom, and it's time to bring the kingdom to the kids. And what I've just given you is what we give all of our leaders and our ministers so that they would not necessarily get involved with the ministry, but they would know how to talk about this thing. And I feel that this place right here in this spiritual family, it's time to talk about it with others, because there's an assignment going across the region and across the neighborhoods right now where people are going to come in and they're going to get the DNA. And a big part of this DNA is the next generation to walk and be equipped. Why? So we have a great Sunday school. So parents stay in church. Oh, that's good. People want to leave Forerunner Church. I don't like it. When they say there's nothing for my children or it's not going so good, I don't want the email from Mike Bickle. I don't want those emails. But I know for a fact that we're bringing the kingdom to the children. What ended up happening on fourth week, a little boy comes in. He says, I just want to thank you. I said, well, for what, Mateo? He says, I want to thank you because I'm going to Texas. And I got mad. I was furious. I had to keep this straight face in front of this little boy. But I was pretty ticked off. Boys and girls, I was not happy. Because I really prayed that the Lord would put that family back together. I really prayed something would happen. And I started saying to him, hey, I'm so sorry, man. You know how you know the old religious words? You say, healing's a process. It's a process. I'm going to keep praying for you. I'm not going to give up. That's all real. It is. We don't all get healed at the same time. He goes, oh, no, no, no. Something really cool happened. I go, well, it's not very cool for your mom and dad to split up. I don't know what can be cool. Because it's pretty hot in Texas. No, I didn't say that. Holy cow. He says, last night, I got up on a chair. I told one of your stories to my papa. I go, you didn't. He's big. And he's angry most of the time. You didn't mention my name, did you, to him? So I got up on a chair and I told him about the story that you said. When you go up to a hill, the tallest hill in Estes Park, Colorado, that's where we're in, Denver, and you're on your inner tube and you turn your inner tube around and you go down backwards, it's like backsliding. I go, I said that? I mean, I'm winging it in there. I said to myself later, that's brilliant. I'm just winging it like we're talking about. We're just winging it. We got a box and we bounced the ball in a box. And it brought out the most competitive spirit among the children I've seen in a long time. I said, what do you mean you told him that story? He said, yeah, I said, Papa, you went up on, it's like going up on a hill and you're in your sled and the devil turned your sled around and you're going to go down. And Papa, you once knew Jesus and he wants you to know him again. And his father went to his knees. And he got off the chair and he prayed for his father. He got back on the chair and he said, Mama, my teacher, I said, you didn't mention my name, did you? But keep my name out of this one, bro. You don't do that. I mean, I grew up Italian. You don't get to know the first names of your teachers. They're called nuns. That's all you need to know. Miss Nun. Miss Nun. Mother. Mother someone. And so, he said, Mama, he tells a story that I told. He said, Mama, you don't go to church only when you have to and your heart's pain and Jesus wants to come into your life and I want to know if you want to accept Jesus. Father's on his knees. The mother's now being prayed for by the son. The father gets up and he goes over to the family. He gets his daughter. She was there, probably in shock. She was there. Mateo was there, and the father took the mother's hand, put her hand in his hand, put his hand on the children, and he said, we're going to Texas together. And they left to go to Texas, and he became a missionary. Why did I tell you that story? Because it's really cool? No, I'll tell you why. That was my first introduction to Malachi chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. The pillar of this ministry here is Malachi, one of them, is Malachi 4. Malachi 4, so there's the spirit of Elijah, prophet Elijah goes out, right? We know the story, I'm not going to teach on it. I'm going to go down three quick points. See, your paradigm's already getting changed. You're not part of dropping your children off at some program or a program. We want the programs to be good. I learned from John Wimber that the program is the thermometer of the church. So we want the right ones. But we don't want the babysitting. We don't want just the childcare. We want the fun. What I saw this camp was the most fun I've seen children have in a 3.5-4 day period of time, and then get encountered. So we're not wanting to throw program under the bus. I went to a seminar. I found out I was the first message of a huge children's conference in Denver, Colorado. I'd forgot about it. My assistant told me, you need to go. You're teaching tonight. Oh, yeah, we didn't put that on the calendar. So I went, and I began to share what I'm going to end with. But I started looking at the seats out there, and everybody had a puppet sitting next to them. What she forgot to tell me was I was teaching the main session at a puppet festival. A puppet festival. I thought it was children's pastors. There is a difference. That's all I'm going to say, because I'm being recorded. And I go and open my mouth and I say, hey, everybody, those fur balls that you have sitting next to you, I haven't met one filled with the Holy Spirit. I say it, and from that point on, I got written up in a magazine. It went viral, as viral could go, and I was known as the children's pastor that was going to dethrone puppet ministries all across the earth, because I said they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Look, they're not. You are. So we got this curriculum that we need to do. Who's the curriculum? What's the curriculum, Amy? What's the curriculum that this place is going to give to the children? You want to know what it is? You and me. We're the curriculum. Moms and dads, you're the curriculum. Don't give that up. And so that little boy went to Texas, and I had my first introduction to Malachi chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. The hearts of the fathers turn to the children, children to the fathers. And as you research and study that particular passage, you'll find that it's all related to the coming of Jesus. So I want you to put my first slide up, my friend. And I'm going to give you what we give everybody so that they would be able to think about the ministry that God wants for this place. I want you to do two things. I want you to change your paradigm today, and I want you to get in your vocabulary. Children are called to people, not programs. And there's an assignment on this place that's going to bring children in. And the foundation is getting laid. So I want to give you just what happened to me after that. I did take over that children's ministry. I went from 2 weeks to 4 weeks to 8 weeks. And then I go and take over the nursery. And I take over a Thursday night service. And one thing leads to another. And I'm the least qualified of everyone. In vocabulary, in knowledge, in specialization for children, I'm the least qualified. And my pastor, his name's Tom Stipe, gave me a chance to lead the whole thing because he thought I had a good work ethic. And he said, I think you have the right heart and you have a vision. I don't want to babysit either. I want the same Holy Spirit that's moving in our services, in our prayer room, to be set free among the children. But I had to go to work, and this is how we're gonna finish this thing. Luke chapter 18, not gonna get into it, but it was Jesus hijacking the meeting, right? They were also bringing infants to him that he might bless them. When the disciples saw that, they rebuked them. They rebuked the children. It'd be like Brad being up here teaching, and all of a sudden a bunch of children just going everywhere. And Jesus, he hijacks the meeting, he stops the meeting, and he says, no, let them come. Do not hinder them, church. Do not hinder them. And then he goes on, for theirs is the kingdom. They were also bringing infants to him that he might bless them. So what does that tell you? Well, I think those elementary ones and the teens, because they're all there. When I researched it, they're all there. They're all there. I really believe they probably knew who Jesus was. I can tell you, I think I know this is for sure because how Jesus ends the verse. So they were also bringing infants to him. So somebody was seeing something. There was a cry coming from the moms and dads. There's a cry coming from the hearts of the moms and fathers. father and mothers and family members across this region, and they're going to come here. And we're going to pray on a monthly basis for this place, that they come here. And so Jesus rebukes them. Jesus tells the disciples, do not hinder them. Let them come, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And if we don't become like them, we will limit God's power in our life. You see, what's remarkable about this particular text is this happened on the night of the Day of Atonement. It was already a custom for the children to be prayed for by the elders. I asked some really smart people to help me out with this. And I found out by one of them in Israel, it was the night of the Day of Atonement. It was already going to be a custom. So the disciples aren't bad people for stopping it, going, whoa, 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 he's teaching. Guys, back up. Ma'am, could you just wait till he's done with your baby? No, there was a desperate cry. Here's what we need to do with that passage. That passage is taught all over the earth to get people to be filled with a bunch of guilt so that they go work with children. After all, suffer the little children, for theirs is the kingdom, right? I get that. Nothing wrong with that. That sparks your heart a little bit and you get involved. Good. But what I did with it was this. I started with 8 workers and 800 children when I took over the children's ministry in the Vineyard, Denver. And the Lord built the whole thing around us on this passage. He said, let them come. But it wasn't just let them come. You got to do something with them. Right, Amy? You got to do something with them. 52 weeks out of the year, you're running out of crafts. You're running out of stuff. But here's what we're going to do today. We give you 3 quick ones to change your paradigm. But here's what we got to do before we even look at these next slides. We need to ask Jesus for the very emotions that he had when he let the children come to him. That's what I did. I said, Lord, I think I could do it. But I need the emotions that Jesus had when he let them come to him. I want to be in that very spot. Spiritual family, I want you to be in that very spot where you ask the Lord for your family. You say, Jesus, give me the emotions that you had when the children came to you. What did you feel? What did you see? What did you know? What did you feel? What did you see? What did you know? See, your paradigm's already being shifted from this babysitting service, child care, Sunday school, children's church, children's ministry, whatever else we called it. You know why? Because children are not a hobby. The Lord gave me my assignment to go to Kansas City when he said, I want to speak my heart's desire through you. I want to develop the Children's Equipping Center that will go throughout the earth, and you will tell men and women all across the earth, boys and girls and teens, that children are not my hobby. It's not a specialty. If you have the kingdom of God moving in you, you have been saved, you have a good shot at making a difference with the next generation. Yeah, we need materials, but curriculum is from the Latin term course of ground. Curriculum isn't even the materials. Those are the materials are the disciplines of a curriculum. The curriculum is the course of ground that you set, and this place has set a course of ground. This place is the curriculum. The prayer room, Forerunner, fellowship? It's the curriculum for the next generation. Got to see it that way. Yeah, we need to teach things, and you're going to be begging God to give you another idea for those 3-year-olds. And we know that, right, Sadie? We know it's hard. But he is the curriculum. And this is what I believe Jesus did. He let them come. He said, become like them, for the power that will come through your life will come as you become like a child. All we have to do is tell these children, it's not easy, but all we have to do is get the children who came to the camp and who come to our ministries to believe that they were part of the story. Yeah. See, I told this story to them, and they got it. They're part of the plan. And so you got to pray for this very emotions that Jesus had when he let them come. I want to do that at the end. That's dangerous. I'm going to go before the Lord as a father, and I'm going to ask for the very emotions that Jesus had when he let them come. What did he see? What did he know? What did he feel? He didn't call on the snack. He didn't call on the puppet show. He didn't call on crafts. He did what he knew to do because he had one shot at showing those children what the church ought to look like, and he didn't waste it on a program. He had one shot. I study these two verses almost daily and get new revelation. But what I want to share with you today, as we wind down, what he really did, and I have it on the screen, Jesus looked beyond the external to the eternal. He looked beyond their frame to their destiny. He looked beyond the external. He didn't see them as children. He said, let them come. Let the children come to me. That's what Luke says. Let them come. He looked beyond. He saw something. I often ask myself this. Who were the children? Who were the children that he let come? Okay, I'll ask you. Amy, who are the children you got here? Letting them come. Who are they? We don't want another generation of children growing up trying to figure out what went wrong with the church. We want them to walk in power. They can heal the sick. They can prophesy. They can have dreams. They can dream dreams. We believe that. But you can believe that and in your ministry here just be a cool thing. Or you can believe that and say, I now know what our purpose is. And one of our purposes. And here's what he did real quick. He looked beyond the external. He imparted a blessing. He imparted a blessing. That's what he did. And he felt the cry come from the parents. And he knew he had one shot at showing those children what the church ought to look like. And he didn't waste it on a program. He gave the Father's heart. There are some grips. I don't like the word strongholds. I believe in them. Because I've had many of them in my life. But I don't like to use the term. But there are some serious grips on the body of Christ, keeping the body of Christ and individuals from understanding we can equip children to walk in what we've experienced this week is only the tip of the iceberg for these kids. I ask you all who worked with the camp, who are these kids? Start getting revelation. Who are they? What are you doing? What do you want to say? What do you feel? And so I want to go and give you three things that crept into the body of Christ over several decades. First of all, we need to change our mindset from an adult-focused only type of a mindset. The adult focus is pretty easy to understand. The emphasis in church has been on teaching adults to live godly lives. Since adults are more developed intellectually, financially, and spiritually, they are viewed as being more important to the work of the ministry. It's just there. Nothing wrong with it. I go to the table at our executive leadership team. I oversee all these ministries and the Children's Equipping Center and camps and outreaches. And they're talking about all these adult things. And I want to throw in what God's doing with the children. I remember Mike Bickle coming to the ELT saying, you're not going to believe this. On the 11th hour, we got the check. We can pay our stipends. And I raised my hand. He goes, yeah, Lenny. I go, yeah, we had all-time high offering ourselves Sunday. In the Children's Equipping Center. What? Oh, yeah, yeah. All-time high. We got $27.68. And the check he held up was for, I think, $300,000. You know what? That offering in the Children's Equipping Center is every bit as important as the offering that we got to keep the lights and gas on at the House of Prayer. But we got the adult focus. So what we got to do is we got to change that. Not get mad at that. Your biggest thing is not to get mad at that. It's just there. It's just a paradigm that crept in. You know that. And so I want to go to the second. The second grip is what I identified as the me generation. Now, you have to understand, you're in a session right now with me so that your paradigm would be shifted and you would possibly hear the Lord for what it is you're to do and say with a generation. You'll never see children again the same way. You'll never see children come into this place the same way after this. But the me generation crept in. And I came up with this stuff because I have to recruit 52 weeks a year from the adult congregation, the very people who caused the problems in the church, in the family. Think about her job, my job, these people that work with children in the church. We have to recruit from the same group of people who's really having a hard time in the family or may cause some big problems in the family and the church. What choice do we have but to raise these guys up? Where's Gabby? What choice do we have but to raise Gabby? What choice do we have but to raise your families up? They're the future leaders, man. They're not the leaders of tomorrow. They're coming up and learning the leadership. They're going to take it on. And then we got a few of us that are just sticking it out that are going to launch them. But the adult focus got married to the me generation. The me generation is pretty simple to understand. Since the 60s, adults have been focused on self-fulfillment, creating new age philosophies which justify a focus on self. There was no new evangelism in the late 80s and early 90s, according to Billy Graham. The only new evangelism that took place was to replace the saints that already went to heaven. That's what the organization said. Why? Because in those years, nothing wrong with it, I'm not mad, but in those years, we started putting more counselors and more self-help people into the body of Christ rather than raising up preachers and teachers that have fire on their tongues that can have and communicate breakthrough. I'm in counseling a couple times, three, maybe four, maybe five. I'm not against it. I want counsel. But when the adult focus marries the me generation in the church, because the me generation is real, I can't work with the children, man. I'm going through too much stuff, man. Do you know what I'm going through? I like to say, you know what I'm going through? Church, at some point, we got to learn to play hurt. Yeah, you got to have the basics down. One wife, don't go, right? Basics. But at some point in time, you're never going to have it together, and you got a generation of children out there waiting to be equipped, and nobody's coming to them because they don't feel like they got their lives together. How many times I go down Grandview Road to the Children's Equipping Center, to Forerunner Church, and I don't feel qualified. But the adult focus married the me generation, and I'll close with this. They had a kid. And this is the next kid. I also gave you this slide here today. The me generation has created a generation of church members with a great need to see their own life succeed, causing a wasteland of children whose spiritual needs are left unmet. I'm going to have many times to come before you. I'm going to park myself here with Amy and the team, Caitlin, Brad, the upper, you know, places where God is truly wanting to reveal that revelation. I'm in. But we got to ton of children whose spiritual needs are left unmet because we have this me generation. Well, they had a kid, and this is the kid. This is what I want to break up. I love the poor. I reach the poor. I program for the poor. I love it in our church. I'm so thankful that I get to do outreach. But this is what happened. The adult focus married the me generation, and it presented this mindset. It promoted this mindset in the body of Christ. I say it like this: saving the lost became a concept instead of a big biblical mandate. Adult focus marries the me generation, and all of a sudden it had a kid. And the mindset is that saving the lost is just a concept instead of a biblical mandate. As church leaders have become more sensitive to the call to reach those who don't know Christ, there has developed a mentality to treat children as the lost individuals rather than part of the spiritual family. They're not the lost. If the kingdom was compared to them, we must become like them. Then they can see God. We don't have to program as if they're the lost. And I really believe the Lord wants to break that mindset. And here's what I'm going to ask my friend to put up as I pray for you. I got this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah, he prays, "Open the eyes of my servant so that he may see." Now, I'm not going to go through a big teaching on this, but I got this today. The servant was looking at the hills and the army that was coming, and basically the servant said, "We're doomed," right? We're doomed. But then it goes on and says, the Lord then, Elisha, the Lord opens the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw. He saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. And then Elisha goes and says, "Yeah, the army's huge. How about you blind them, Lord?" Here's what I want to say to you. This is what I got loud and clear. And I want to pray these words over you. I wrote it down. You're not small. You're not small here. He hears your prayers. And what I like to do is I just like to close in prayer and ask for the very emotions that Jesus had when he let the children come to us. And if you look at your family and the obstacles and all the things that are coming at you, you'd be like the servant. It's too much. We're doomed. No. The eyes were open. I'll pray right now in the name of Jesus that all of our eyes in this room and those that couldn't be here and those that are dedicated here, God, their eyes, our eyes would be open, that we would see the horses and chariots of fire of your move, God.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.